This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
I found this years ago. It's just a funny little clip I took out of a magazine, and I've used it several times. It says, "This letter was written in response to a request from an insurance company for more information about an on-the-job injury." Here's what the person wrote back to the insurance company. "My answer to cause for injury in block 11, I wrote, doing the job alone. You ask for more information. Well, I'm a bricklayer by trade. At the end of the project, I realized that I had 500 pounds of bricks left over at the top of the building. Rather than carry them down by hand, I decided to use a pulley and a barrel. So I secured the rope at the ground level and the pulley at the top of the building before loading the bricks into the barrel and flinging the barrel out over the edge of the building. Down at the bottom, holding securely to the rope to ensure a slow descent, I untied the rope. Please refer to block number 6 of your insurance form that lists my weight as 145 pounds. Due to the shock of being jerked up off the ground, I temporarily lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Between the second and third floors, I met the barrel coming down. This accounts for the bruises and lacerations on my upper body. Regaining my presence of mind, I again held tightly to the rope, and about the same time, the barrel hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Now, devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel weighed less than 50 pounds. I again refer you to block number 6, listing my weight at 145 pounds. As you would guess, I began a rapid descent down and met the barrel coming up in the vicinity of the second and third floors. This would account for the bruises and lacerations to my legs and lower body. Slowed only slightly, I continued my descent, landing on the pile of bricks. Fortunately, my back was only sprained. But I'm sorry to report, I again lost my presence of mind, and I let go of the rope. As you can imagine, the barrel crashed down on me and broke my nose and caused further injury. I trust this answers your desire for further information. Please note, I'm finished doing the job alone." Now I want you to hold on to that thought for just a second. And let's see how this fits into our series this year on serving the purpose of God. We're learning these leadership lessons, and we've covered 4 topics to date. Let's look at our little chart. That's our review chart. First, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, we looked at the criteria of a spiritual leader, and we found that that God doesn't see as man sees, because God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Then, and I love the Goliath guys. That was, I recognized him immediately when you walked out there. The David and Goliath from that story in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we saw that leaders, when you step in a position of leadership, you're going to have problems. But don't view those problems as a temporary frustration, but as future preparation. God tends to use problems, challenges in our life, to prepare us for leadership. Then we went to chapter 18, 1 Samuel chapter 18, and we looked at critics. When you step in a leadership role, there will often be critics. And they won't just be from the outside. We expect attacks from the outside. We expect the javelins and spears of Goliath, but we do not expect the spears of the Sauls. And was Matthew with Saul? Yep. Then we spent 2 times looking at David and Bathsheba, 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. We saw that disobedience has more than just short-term regrets, but long-term consequences. So that brings us to today. I want us to look at 2 Samuel chapter 23, please. And I want us to look at the topic of teammates. And here's how I'm putting this. You can defeat Goliaths by yourself. Just pick up that smooth stone, put it in your sling, hope you've been practicing, and hit him right in the forehead. You can defeat Goliaths alone, but to defeat armies requires teammates, not just individual effort. So, 2 Samuel chapter 23, this lists David's mighty men. And instead of just reading through this, because there's a lot of names, there's certain stories I want us to highlight. We're going to answer four questions this morning. The first two have to do with the passage. And the second two have to do with the mighty men, the teammates that God's called to serve here at CIU. So, first question. What did these mighty men accomplish? Look at chapter 23, verse 8. I love this. I think I might name my next grandbaby after this fellow. Josheb Bashabeth. That's a great name. Josheb Bashabeth Jones. That just flows, doesn't it? Josheb Bashabeth Jones. Says there in verse 8, he defeated 800 people at one time. That's one tough guy right there. Eleazar. Verses 9 and 10, he stood his ground, and I put this in parentheses in my own notes. It's not on the slide that you're seeing. If you look at, there's a parallel passage, 1 Chronicles chapter 11, and it looks like David was with him. So you can imagine the camaraderie, the bonding that took place after it says there, Eleazar stood his ground even after the rest of the team had deserted the battle. Can you imagine? David, I'm right here with you. You don't have to worry. To get to you, they don't have to go through me. He stood his ground. Verses 11 and 12, Shammah, he took his stand after the team had fled. Here's another fellow. So, well, you know, if Eleazar can do it, I can do it. We're not backing up. We're not budging. We're not bowing down. We're not conceding defeat. We're going to stand here and fight. Abishai, this is verses 18 and 19, he killed 300 with his spear. I mean, this is kind of like Braveheart, Patriot, Gladiator, all rolled up into, you know, one chapter here. These are just incredible guys. Verses 20 through 23, Benaiah killed a lion. Now, if you've ever been up close and personal with a lion, they're huge. They're killing machines. Benaiah kills a lion. But I love verses 10 and 12. There's repetition in 10 and 12. And here's what it says about Eleazar and Shammah. And we can say this for the rest of them. It says, the Lord brought about a great victory. It talks about in verse 10, Eleazar. And then it says, the Lord brought about a great victory. Verse 12, Shammah, the Lord brought about a great victory. So here's the takeaway from this passage. You can kill your Goliaths alone, by yourself. But to defeat armies, you need to be a part of a team. And if you're going to serve the purpose of God in this generation, and you're going to fulfill what God's called your generation to accomplish, you're not going to be able to do it by yourselves. You're going to need to be a part of a team. Well, what motivated these mighty men? There's a story, verses 13 through 17. Let's just read this. Follow along as I read it. Then three of the 30 chief men went down and came to David at the harvest time and came to the cave of Adullam while the troop of the Philistines were camping in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold. I like how you picture the cave there. That was his stronghold. Make some of the Psalms come alive watching image bearers, how you performed and choreographed that song, powerful song. Then David was in the stronghold while the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. David had a craving and said, oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem, which was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Can you imagine the bravery it took to do that? Nevertheless, he would not drink it, But he poured it out to the Lord, and he said, "Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of men who went into jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things the three mighty men did. So here's what I put. What motivated these mighty men? Verses 15 through 16, they valued bravery. It was important for them, in jeopardy of their lives, to go get this water. Why? Because they valued each other. They loved David. They said, verse 17, "David, you want water? We'll go get water." And I put here, said, you can be brave and not value your teammate, and you can value your teammate and not be brave. They valued both of these. They valued bravery, and they valued each other. So then I got to thinking on this passage. How does this relate to CIU? So I thought, well, let's ask the same two questions. What has the CIU team of mighty men and women accomplished? And then what motivates them? Well, how many are familiar with the U.S. News and World Report that lists the best colleges and universities? Raise your hand if you are. Some of you are, okay. If you go in the administration building, you'll see these four plaques on the wall. Every year, the U.S. News and World Report ranks best colleges and universities. There's a national group and there's southern or regional groups, and we're in the southern region. In 2011 and prior to that, CIU was unranked. By the way, who were freshmen in 2011? Okay, there's a group over here, some back there. All right. In 2011, we were ranked 80th in the South. In 2012, 56th. In 2013, 55th. And this last fall, we were ranked 37th. I can't wait to see how they rank us this coming fall. And why is it that we're on that kind of trajectory? Well, it's the mighty men. God has accomplished a great thing through the faculty here. If you're serving on the faculty, would you stand up right now? And I think they deserve a big round of applause, okay? Just some up there. You know, through their lives, God's bringing about a great victory. Last week, here's another great victory. CIU was ranked nationally 6th. 2 years ago, we were 20th. Last year, we were 13th. This year, we're ranked 6th. Best bang for the buck, meaning the best education for the price you're paying, the tuition. It was ranked 6th in the country. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? But I love this one. You know, that's a great victory. Here's a great one. I think some of you heard this. We were ranked 2nd in the nation for the easiest place to get a date because our ratio of men to women is so equal. Now, yes, some of you have really won a great victory because of that one, right? How many are engaged right now this year? Raise your hands. Okay. How many are going to get engaged pretty soon? All right, well, what motivates the team? What motivates these mighty men here at CIU? And I'm using men generically, so please, if you're female, don't take offense. All right, I want to share with you, one of the students saw this, and they said, you know, we think the rest of the student body would appreciate seeing this. This is what I call, or we call, CIU's identity triangle. All right, CIU's identity triangle. Now, if you're going to be in positions of leadership after graduation, I encourage you to write this down. At the top is our purpose. The next purpose answers the why question. Why do we do what we do? The next layer is our mission. The mission answers the what question. What is it we're seeking to accomplish? The third layer is the vision of CIU. The vision layer answers the where question. Where are we going? The next layer is the strategic plan. Strategic plan, that layer answers the how question. How will we get where we're going to accomplish what we're called to do in order to bring glory and pleasure to the Lord? Notice I've drawn a dark line between the fourth and fifth layer. That fifth layer is the culture of the organization, or specifically here is CIU. The culture answers the who question, because culture is created by the people in the organization. Now, the reason I drew a dark line there, you can have the top four, and they can be well-worded, worthy goals, tremendous direction. But if there's a crummy culture, and culture is made up of two parts, our values and our behaviors, and we'll get to that in just a second in more detail. If there's bad culture, it's doubtful that you'll accomplish the above. But if there's great culture, a great team, then you will come very well-positioned to accomplish great victories for the Lord. Now, this is an eye chart, this next one. Lance, put it up there. Okay. Can you see that well enough? All right. That top there, what is the purpose of CIU? What drives us ultimately? What's the why? What's the answer to the why question? It's to glorify God. We want to please and glorify God. It's not about us. It's all about Him. So what's our mission? I want you to quote it with me. Let's get started. Let me get us started, and you quote it with us. To educate people. Let's do it loudly. Ready? To educate people from a biblical worldview. The message of Christ. All right, very good. And it's so we like to abbreviate that by saying it's to know Christ and to make Him known. Well, I'm going to put this on a bigger screen because these are such small letters up there. The third layer is our vision. What's our vision? We want to be the premier Christian university. Now, we would call that a biblical university because we're not just a Christian university. We're a university of Christians. Does that make sense? There's a big difference. You can go to, I had the privilege, Debbie and I, my sweetheart and I, she's also my wife if you're visiting, we had the chance 3 weeks ago to lead a professor to Christ who's teaching at a Christian university. So a non-Christian teaching at a Christian university. You won't find that here. To get in, you have to have a faith story that there was a time I didn't know Christ, and now I do. And here's when Jesus Christ changed my life. For me, 41 years ago today. I can finally say it. Yeah, I love that. All right, so but we see ourselves as a biblical university because all undergrads, you get 2 degrees, or most of you get 2 degrees, your professional degree, and you also get a degree in Bible, because we want you to have a biblical worldview. 2 plus 2 is 4. 2 plus 2 is 2. All right. It's my birthday today. Give me a break. All right. 2 plus 2 is 4. Wherever you go, that's taught. But we teach 2 plus 2 is 4. I didn't take that class, but we teach it here. And why do we teach it? Because God made it that way. It's from a biblical worldview. But since there are few biblical universities, we want to be the premier Christian university in the Southeast. And that's our vision. When we fulfill that vision, we'll set a bigger vision. All right, so how do we get there? I'm going to go through these. These are some of the victories that the Lord has brought about, great victories, through the team here. We're halfway through our 3-year strategic plan called FAITH. And here's why it's called FAITH. Number one, funding for student scholarships. Each year I try to show you at the spring, I thought I'd just work this into our talk and give you students an update on how we're doing in terms of accomplishing 5 strategic objectives. Funding for student scholarships. Here's a graphic on how God's blessed our endowment. The endowment provides, we take 5% of the endowment each year and use that for funding of scholarships. Now, where it's always a year after, because we want the interest to accumulate and then we spend it. So it takes a year to accumulate before we can spend it. So you see there in 2014, it started out at about $14 million. Today it's at $35 million. Halfway through or a quarter of the way through 2015. There's someone that's pledged another $4 million. So Lord willing, this time next year, it'll be at $40 million. That's exciting, isn't it? I think it's real exciting. I think the Lord deserves a hand, don't you? So. Then the A stands for accessibility online or through online degrees. Let me just, Lance, hit it again. Bring the next slide up, please. And go ahead and go one more. Now, we're doing a lot with online delivery. But let me tell you the one about which I'm very excited. The person on the left, your left, is Chi-Kong Shu. He's one of CIU's trustees. On the right is another Dr. Shu. This is Ezekiel Shu, Dr. Ezekiel Shu, who's one of our newest faculty members. This was the vision of the Dr. Shu on the left, and Dr. Shu on the right is the one responsible for implementing this. We've translated a master's degree into Chinese, digitized it, delivering it electronically to 207 house church pastors in mainland China right now. And so it's going... It's going around the government, and they're receiving, because the biggest need right now, and some predict or some suggest there's 80 to 110 million Christians in China. The biggest need they have, though, is theological, biblical training, ministerial training. So we're delivering that. They can take the first five courses for free. If they want to get for credit, then they test out of that, and then they begin actually paying for the courses, but there's been an endowment established that helps them pay for the courses. So this is a way we can take a country made up of 2 billion people, take it for Jesus Christ. And I'm real excited about that. Fortunate to start crying. All right, number three, initiatives for academic programs. Let me just give you one example, and I want you to spread the word on this. We just received a $500,000 grant to launch a five-year MDiv where a student can graduate from high school, start at CIU in the fall, and 5 years later get both their undergrad degree, which is a four-year degree, and their MDiv degree, which is a three-year degree. So in 5 years, they get two degrees that typically take 7 years. So I'm very pleased with this great victory that the Lord has accomplished through the team here. Fourthly, transformation of our campus facilities. As you know, we moved from downtown out here, these beautiful 400 acres, in 1960. So now it's 55-year-old campus, and the facilities were showing their age. So in the last 8.5 years, we've remodeled 7 of the buildings, and we've built new 7 buildings. The Moore Fitness Center, the community center, and the down at the apartments at Pineview, and the 5 apartment buildings. But those 4 is just activity if we don't accomplish the 5th one, Harvesters for World Impact. And we want to keep sending out generation after generation, just like you, of people who will go out and change the world. Well, what does fall enrollment look like? Here's a great victory. In terms of inquiries, 2 years ago, we had 400 high school seniors inquiring about CIU. This time, 2 years ago. Last year, we had 2,400 inquiries. This year, it's up to 8,000, almost 8,100. Is that not exciting? Somebody's sharing something about CIU. All right, now let's look down, let's look deeper at this culture. So what motivates this mighty team here? There are 5 core values. You know these: the authority of Scripture, the necessity of Spirit-filled life, the priority of world evangelization, prayer and faith, and evangelical unity. Those are our 5 core values. But we've been stressing the last couple years 3 corporate behaviors. Now, I want you to listen carefully to these, because we're going to have a contest. I'm going to announce a contest in just a second. What are these corporate behaviors? Three of them. This is who we are, A-R-E. Attitude matters, relationships matter, and excellence matters. Now, in terms of the attitude, we take this from Philippians chapter 2, and Jesus humbled himself. So we, in terms of attitude, we value a humble attitude. He took the form of a bondservant, so we value servant's heart or helpfulness. And then it talks about in verse 17 and 18, I share my joy with you, you share your joy with me. A joyful attitude. So a humble, helpful, joyful attitude. Relationships, this comes from Colossians chapter 3. And we're really valuing our commitment to one another. How, this verse 14, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. We want to be a united team here. Not always agreeing on everything, but united in spirit and intent on one purpose. And then we want to, in our care for one another, we value that. All this has to do with relationships. And then in our conflict. How many have a roommate? How many have ever had conflict with your roommate? Okay, you know what I'm saying? Conflict is inevitable. It's how we handle conflict that shows whether we're godly or not. Then excellence matters. Yeah, don't get a spirit of bitterness while you think about that. Then excellence matters. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17 says, take heed to the ministry which you receive from the Lord in order that you may fulfill it. We are here because God has called us to be here. We see it as a ministry to serve you. We're not just professors. We're not just staff people. We are ministers on your behalf for His glory. So here's the contest. On April 9th, I want to announce three winners from among the faculty and staff that you nominate. Okay? So between now, excuse me, I want to do that on April 16th. So by April 9th, because I have to read through all these or get to read through all these, I want you to write a half a page, no more than a page, about a staff person, an accounting, physical plant, library, registrar's office, financial aid, doesn't matter. Faculty, half a page to a page, you write why they reflect this CIU value, that attitude matters. Tell me about their humility, their helpfulness, their joy. Okay? And then one on relationships. And you can nominate as many people as you want. And then about excellence. Do they demonstrate excellence in the classroom? Do you believe you're getting your money's worth? I want you to get your money's worth. I want everything we do here to be done with excellence. Then, April 16th is the next time I have the privilege of speaking in chapel. Then we're going to give each of the winners, I'm pointing down here, up here, each of the winners, I'm going to give them a gift certificate. And the person who writes the best recommendation, I'm going to give you a $25 gift certificate. Now, understand, if I get zero nominations, I'm going to write three, all three for me, one for attitude, one for excellence, one for relationships. I'll get $50 for each of those. That's $150. Plus, I'll be the three make the nominations. That's another $75. I'll walk away with $225, but I'd rather share it with you. All right, here's the takeaway from this passage, 2 Samuel 23. You can defeat Goliath by yourself. But if we're going to serve the purpose of God in this generation, if we're going to defeat the armies of the devil himself, we have to be part of a team. While you're here at CIU, I'm proud to say you're part of a great team. So let's hear about it. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for what we're learning from David. And Lord, thank you so much for the great team that you've called here at CIU. Lord, thank you for the faculty. Thank you for the staff. Thank you for all the administrators. Lord, thank you for these students. Because, Lord, we're here because of them. We want to be here because of them. Lord, we thank you that you've called us to serve CIU. Lord, we desire to be the premier biblical Christian university in the Southeast United States. Lord, would you continue bringing about great victories here for your honor and glory? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.